Take your Bibles, if you would, tonight with me, and we'll speak a little bit tonight. I hope not really a message, but more teaching, and we'll have a time for us to evaluate ourselves and just before we go into the Lord's Supper. But someone mentioned to me the last time I had gone to Maryland, I went up there, and one of the things they asked me to do was to do the Lord's Supper, and I had the opportunity to take time to teach them and to spend a little bit of time, and a couple of the guys that are here in our church went back and watched that, and they mentioned to me how again, I went through and explained some things of why we do the Lord's Supper, how we do it. Now, not everybody does it exactly how we do it, and there's not in set order of necessarily the way we put the chairs on the floor and all that way, and many of the things that you'll see here tonight. And I'm going to try to be brief and just kind of try to help you. But, you know, you may be in a place that does something different and have been somewhere else, and you wonder why we do it this way. And a lot of this is we try to do our best. The Lord's Supper is not about someone eating a cracker and drinking juice and getting saved. It is something that's given to the Lord's church for us to honor and to realize. It's really for us to do a reset on our own selves, to judge ourselves so that we don't have to be judged of God. And when we do that, then we partake, and we, at that point, think about this, on Sundays, we meet on Sunday because it's not, and he's going to tell us through the scripture that we don't do this every time we meet, and it's not just about the eating, it's because every Sunday, we're not just preaching the death. There's so many churches that are going to go and remember, they have the Lord's Supper every week because they're remembering the Lord's death. We announce his resurrection. Okay, we do speak of his death on a Sunday, but then we want to preach the resurrection. When we gather tonight, we are looking at what Jesus sacrificed for us, his body and his blood. We realize what the cost, we count the cost of what it took to redeem us back into himself. And yes, he's redeemed, and he's redeemed us, and he's seated at the right hand of the throne, and all the things that we know are true. But tonight we gather together and we do this, and we remember him. And the Bible also talks about as oft as you do it. And again, that, a lot of people take that as we ought to do it all the time. But again, this is supposed to not be something that is, it is a ceremony, but it is not supposed to become systematic to the place where we just do it at certain times and it's not special to us. It ought to be something that when we do this, the church is something, we do this for a purpose. We're choosing to do this on the first Sunday of a new year to, again, remind ourselves, to judge ourselves, to put ourselves before the Lord and to realize what he's done for us, and then that he redeemed us and saved us, but then to look forward and say, you know, Lord, I want you to do a work in me. Let me take a hard examination of myself and what you can work in me through you in my life this year. But even that, examining yourself, a lot of times are things that are between you and him that we need to get taken care of. I want you to look at the scripture in 1 Corinthians chapter number 11. We've been over this before, and I'm going to try to do my best to hasten, and then we'll get to this. But I want you to see in chapter 11 that the Lord is if we it took it in context, there's so many things that Paul is trying to convey to the church. And he's kind of, it seems somewhat all, jumping around, but I mean, everything is important. If you don't think that the details of your life, and listen, he just moves off of women's hair. Okay? Now, I'm so glad he wasn't requiring me to have long hair. Okay? Amen? All right? Because I'd have to get a hat or something like that, right? So, and we can laugh about it, but it's in, think about how important it is for God that he deals with details in the lives of us, not only personally, but gender-specific details about how he wants us to present ourselves and come before him. And so this book deals with that in context, and then it's going to come to the place where there, again, errors were happening in the Corinthian church, the church at Corinth. And so here, now he's going to deal with another error, and that error that they were having is they were just having, and they weren't having a potluck. They were having their own personal potluck and showing off one with the other. They were bringing their own, they were bringing Sunday dinner to the grounds and then eating it, not sharing it with other brothers in Christ. And so I want to pick up with saying that. Let's pray, and then we'll dive in to the scripture here in about verse number 18. Dear Lord, I thank you for your goodness and your grace. Lord, I pray again tonight as we build to this, Lord, that you'd help me to be able to explain it in a way that men and women would examine themselves. Our children would understand that this is a sacred thing. This is honoring you and your death, Lord, but also this is something that can really hurt us if we're not careful, Lord, to make sure that there's nothing between you and I, nothing between you, us and our brother. And Lord, we need to make sure that we don't take this unworthily. We thank you for your goodness and grace, and we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. In verse number 18, I want you to see this. He says, for first of all, so now he's dealt with a lot of things, but he's changing gears and he's building towards the Lord's Supper. He says, for first of all, when ye come together in the church, I hear that there be divisions among you, and I, what does he say? Partly believe it. So he's heard hearsay, and he's like, and most of the time, what should we do as believers when we hear something about somebody else? Toss it aside. But this ain't the only thing he's heard. We're 11 chapters deep in the stuff that he's heard about this church that he got in report from someone else who he believed was worthy of listening to and is writing this letter to them to correct the Corinthian church. And now he says, and I also hear that there are divisions among you. Now read to the next verse with me, and I'll try to make my point about divisions, but especially in a church ought to be unified. It ought to be under one faith. Amen. One baptism, have goals, one heading and one set goal for itself. It shouldn't be divided and broken up. He says, for there must be also heresies among you, that they which are approved may be made manifest among you. Anytime a church shows up with divisions inside of itself, you will also find it directly connected to heresies. Now, not broad, big heresies always, but all the time when there are divisions in the church, there's something that started that or began that, and it's usually because truth unifies the church. It doesn't divide it. When everybody's getting on the same page, we're all getting on the same page. Even the same reference there is talking about a church and the Bible. Again, we have the same book. Now, for years, we didn't have to say get on the same book and on the same page. But now we have to state that in this age because there's, what, over 400 different types of translations of the English Bible, let alone other translations. And we use the King James Bible because it is the perfect, inerrant Word of God. Amen. So we're on the same page because things that are different are not the same. So we don't go off into heresy. We don't go down that road. We stay together and stick together, and we're undivided in what we believe in the truth. And so then he begins to enter in after he deals with divisions, after he deals with heresies. Verse 20, he says, when you come together, therefore, into one place, this is not to eat the Lord's Supper. Now, I don't know how much more plain he could be about this, but there are people that believe staunchly, that every time the church comes together, that they ought to have the Lord's Supper. There are people that think that it's not biblical because their church they grew up in did it every month. And if you don't do it every month, that's not what the Bible says. The Bible doesn't say that you ought to do it every third Sunday of every third month. It doesn't mark it down. It's just going to tell us as oft as ye would. So it's going to give us directions of that we ought to do this, but it doesn't give us how often we ought to do it. And you say, well, preacher, if it's a good thing, then we ought to do it all the time. No, the Bible specifically tells us when we come together, our purpose is not to show the Lord's death. It's to show his resurrection. It's to show that he lives. So when we come together in the Lord's Supper, we come together in the Lord's Supper as a church to remember. We do this in remembrance of him and the cost. This is not for the world, and it's not just for the saved. This is specifically given to the church. This is for the Lord's church. The Lord's body will be consuming or taking the Lord's body. And we miss that sometimes. And so when we get to the part about being unworthy, there are people that disagree and don't like that, but I'm just telling you, flat out, this is not given. You want to go back even in the scripture that we will look at in Matthew 26 tonight when we actually read the scripture. They dismiss the person who's really not in the church. Now, by the way, he was not saved, but he was baptized. And his name was Judas. And they were eating and having a supper, but it wasn't the Lord's Supper yet. He says, the person that dips in the cup with me, he it is. And they're all saying, is it I? Is it I? Matthew records Judas saying, is it I? And Jesus says, you said it. You have said. And then the scripture goes in verse 26 and begins, and then he blessed the bread and break it. Now, sometimes we miss that. We think he's at the supper and he's already begun the breaking of bread and he's already begun the Lord's Supper. They ate dinner and then he began a ceremony that we go through tonight in remembering the Lord's body. Yes, they were eating, and I'm sure there was bread as a part of that meal. Today, I had bread at my meal. But it wasn't unleavened bread. It wasn't a ceremony. It wasn't remembering the Lord's death. I was eating because I was hungry, like many of you. And the Bible is going to go through order, and everything that comes down from this, he's going to give order, just like other places in the New Testament that Jesus did as he orders his church. Look at, if you would, and he goes into verse 21, for in eating everyone taketh before another his own supper, and one is hungry and another is drunken. Now, verse 21, even though we don't think about this, I want you to see two things. When we don't wait one for another, that shows division. Now, tonight, when we sit down, and again, we do it very orderly the way we do this, and everyone is seated down. I talked to Pastor Carter about this, and one of the things, this is something that he's done for years, and again, but I've been at churches that where the pastor stood behind the pulpit and read the scripture, and the deacons and the people sat on the floor, and he took his crack at, and again, everybody should be served. I love the way and the picture and the way I was trained to do this here and the way our church does this, because the ground is level at the foot of the cross. Okay? There is a pastor, but he's called out of the body. He's not the head. The Lord Jesus is the head of the body. He's just the under shepherd. And so when we get down here, the pastor doesn't get up and serve all the other men. That's a bad picture. We have men serving men that served you, and we all wait until they all have been served, and everyone gets served. You see, even you'll see a man serve, and then he'll go sit down and leave the plate, and another man will get up and serve him to make sure that everyone is served by someone else, because we don't want divisions. Not one man is set apart from the other. Everyone's a part of the body of Christ and level at the foot of the cross. You say, well, I don't see that in Scripture. I think you see that this ought to have no divisions. And he goes on, and look at what he says here. He goes on in this, and he says in verse 21, for in eating everyone taketh before another his own supper, and one is hungry and another is drunken. This shows division, but now he gets into the, and he's going to tell us to wait one for another while he goes through the scripture. He's saying, this is how you've done it in Aaron, and this is how I want you to do it. He even starts verse 22 with what? Now, I don't know about you, but a lot of times when my kids are doing wrong and I know that I've already taught them how to do this right, usually I walk in and I can't say, sometimes I can't even get their name right. I start with the opposite end of who they are and start running through their names. And then I go, or I'll just walk in and go, what? You know, I can't believe we're doing this, right? He says, have ye not houses to eat and to drink in, or despise ye the church of God? You have to see the connection through the scripture that this, the Lord's Supper, is not, the church of the living God is not this building. You don't show up here and because you're inside the building, you're a part of the church. Okay, this building houses the church. This is the place that the church comes together. And to do this unorderly or to do this unworthily is to despise the church, to cause division. And look what he says here. He goes on and he talks about how, he says, what shall I say unto you? Shall I praise you in this? I praise you not. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take eat, this is my body. which is broken for you, this do in remembrance of me. After the same manner, do, he said like this, also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. So we have both of these to do this in remembrance of me in the body in verse 24. And in verse 25, he says, he deals with the term as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. And so he gives this terminology that, again, that we are supposed to remember, but he's not talking about the ceremony. But we ought to do it. Again, that is the terminology, and that is what we work off of as far as how oft we do that. Now move on with me to verse 26. For as oft as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Now this is something the church is ordered to do, and how long does the church do it? As long as the church exists in this plane of earth. Until the Lord Jesus comes for his church, we continue to remember his death. Now we don't leave. What do? At tonight, this representation of his body, his blood, and it's covered up an old-fashioned way that has been throughout the years to kind of look like you would cover a dead body. To give us the solemnness of death. To give us that picture, the same place that we would take when we have a funeral and we bring the body in the building, it's set out almost exactly like it is right now. To picture and to help us be reminded that Christ did go to the cross, that he did suffer and die, that he did lay his life down, but I'm thankful that he took it up again. But what we mark tonight and what we remember is his death. Look at verse 27. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself. Not discerning the Lord's body. Discernment is truth or wisdom put into practice in your life. So tonight, when we're trying to teach you that you can take the Lord's Supper unworthily, then we have to discern or understand and be wise and realize that when the cup, we have an opportunity. You're not required to take the elements tonight. If you examine yourself and you come to a place in your life where you say, you know what, there's something I need to get straight between. There's a division among me and somebody else. I'm saved and I'm a part. I've been coming to this church, but I've never been baptized and joined a church. Now, you don't have to be a member of this church. I want to say it this way. I don't think it's Bible college class, but for many of you may not understand the terminology there. We practice what is called close communion. All right, there's closed communion. Closed communion simply means that it's closed and locked off, and the only people that are allowed to take the Lord's Supper with us as a church is our personal members of our local church. That means that we would have our service, and at the end of our service, we would dismiss everyone who is not a member of our church, and then we would have the Lord's Supper. But we understand that this is for the Lord's church, not just for our church. Other churches have the Lord's Supper too. So if you are going to take it worthily, you not only need to be saved, but you need to be a member of a church. Now, let me go past that. If how you became a member was not through baptism, then you're not really a member of a church. Now, I'm not trying to offend you. I'm trying to protect you from doing something that would hurt yourself. Because after he says this, then he talks about what happens. And he uses the word damnation, drinketh and eateth damnation to himself. Look at verse 30. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. That means there's a lot of people who had divisions and had things with their brothers. Some of them had been saved and maybe not baptized. They were not a member of the church, and they're in there and they're eating. And again, even the order of the way this is going on, they're just eating supper. They're doing it unworthily. They're not doing it as unto the Lord. So tonight, when we take preparations for ourselves, we ought to examine ourselves. We ought to take heart of this thing and realize, thank you for saving me, Lord. Thank you for giving me a church to be a member of and helping me to accept the fact, to take the first step of obedience to the Lord and be baptized into the Lord's church. To be a member. And then to go farther than that and to serve you, or to be here tonight and accept this and to examine myself and be prepared and ready to take the Lord's Supper. He goes on and tells us the ramifications. He goes, weak and sickly among you. It means that what we're taking into the body, we talk about that often, that doesn't bother us, but I'm just going to tell you, first and foremost, that this weak and sickly means that some of that comes upon us because we don't examine ourselves. And when he uses the term sleep, he's like, this weakness or sickness could lead us to a place of death, because the term for a Christian who dies is not death, but sleep throughout the New Testament. And so he said, some of you are sleeping because you've been doing this unworthily. Look at verse 31. He encourages us and gives us an admonition to the church at Corinth and to us, for if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. Tonight, when that comes by, I either say this, if you can get it right in your examination yourself and take care of what's between you and the Savior, you can't necessarily become a member of the body of church tonight and fix everything. We can't always do that. But you can do this. You can determine to fix it before we have the Lord's Supper again. You can watch the elements go by and examine yourself and choose not to receive that. Now, you say, well, what will everybody else think about me if I watch the cracker and the juice go by and I don't take it? Let me ask you this. What does God think about you? Isn't it more important but your account between you and God? Would you drink if you knew that this was going to be something because you have divisions or problems with your brother, or there's an issue somewhere in your life that God clearly talks to you about through his Holy Spirit? If you're saved in this building tonight and you take that juice and you look at it and you knew, I'm drinking weakness, I'm about to drink sickness. That's not what it's about. We are eating and drinking that and thinking that this is the Lord's body and blood that was given for me. It ought to be something that's encouraging and reminds us the cost that he paid for us, and remember his death and go forward from this place and not be what we used to be, but having reset some things in our lives going forward for the Lord Jesus. He goes on and he says this in verse 32, but when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord that we should not be condemned with the world. Even like, why would the Lord do this to me? Why would he make me weak or sickly or some sleep? Because God will chasten that which is his. If you're saved and on your way to heaven, the Lord, just like a good father, will chasten you to get you to be right. He'll bring you to that place. You say, well, is everybody that's sick somebody who's taken the... No, you know that. Not everybody that has cancer did something wrong with the Lord's Supper. Okay, that is something that happens, but there are people who in the church had divisions and problems with their brother. They were not a member and they were saved and they took the Lord's Supper, and some of them, the Lord chastened them. Now, some of them, maybe the Lord restored them after they joined the church. And I'm not trying to push church membership tonight. I'm just trying to warn you, because my job, listen, I, as a shepherd, an under shepherd, I'm looking out at the flock that I'm responsible for. And if I don't warn you that there's a problem or there's something that could hurt you, then I wouldn't be much of a shepherd. If I didn't protect you and tell you to examine yourself and to warn you that this is something that's serious, it's not something just to flippantly go by and just to not examine yourself and to just do it because this is what we do. This is what the church does, but the church doesn't take this until after it examines itself. After each part of the body sits down and sits and really thinks about, Lord, my account between me and the Lord. Now he goes on and he says, wherefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, tarry one for the other. He reminds us, if there was anything that was important, and you may think, and some people really don't even notice it because we're in an attitude of prayer and watching everybody, but we wait. We wait to eat that. We make sure everyone's seated and everyone's taken, because the Lord repeats himself. It's important that we wait one for the other, because it's important. He starts with divisions, and we want to be on the same page. Now, every one of us aren't going to do that, but we can endeavor to do that. Someone in the back may have their head bowed and miss it, and you say, oh, no, I didn't take it with the rest of the church. I don't want you to feel worried like that, but our purpose and our focus ought to be to be in an attitude of prayer together and to receive the Lord's Supper together as one body. And tonight he goes through this and he finishes up. He says, and if any man hunger, he goes back to that because, look, you know, I've never had to be in this position, but I've known some college students that told me after the service, they were like this, hadn't eaten for a couple of days and things like that. And most of that is, and you say, well, what's their problem? Again, I don't know. I mean, I just know that for many of them, sometimes they are hungry. And, you know, if it's like Isaac, you know, he could have just eaten before he came. And his belly's eating his backbone. But it says, if any man hunger, let him eat at home. It reminds us again that this is not a meal. This isn't a buffet to eat all you want and take all you want. And even in more recent days, we have little tiny pieces of bread and we have little tiny cups. I'd never seen that small of a cup till I came to church and took the Lord's Supper. But even in that, it's our purpose. We're trying to focus on what the Bible says, that we're not receiving something that's going to take care of our hunger. It's not, we're not taking something that is going, that's for the body's good in the sense of I'm filling myself up. I'm doing this. We're taking unleavened bread in because this is what the Lord said to do. We're taking a tiny little bit of grape juice. It hardly isn't even a swallow or take away the dryness of your mouth. But the purpose of it is that we're trying to show that even in this little bit, we're not trying to go overboard and eat or drink to fulfill hunger, but really to be doing something that should take care of a spiritual hunger in our lives. We've examined ourselves and we want to fulfill what the Lord has asked us to do. And that's what we do tonight. As we take the Lord's Supper, we are doing and fulfilling what God has asked us to do. And as oft as we decide as a church that we ought to do that, and he comes in together and he says that ye may come together unto condemnation. Look, let him that eat at home that ye may not come together unto condemnation. And that the rest I will set in order when I come. Now, I don't know what else, and the Bible doesn't record it, so it must have been personal. Whatever else was broken and needed fixed in the Corinthian church that dealt with specifically the Lord's Supper, Paul didn't record it because that was for them. But he penned this down and sent it to them to correct it, but it's for our benefit as well. And so that we can, because again, folks, we have an order, and we'll turn to Matthew 26, and we'll listen exactly how Jesus did this with his church and with his disciples while he was on earth. But this is another one of those things. He echoes exactly what Jesus says and reminds us, this is what Jesus said, and this is how we're doing it wrong. This sets order. Do you know, I don't know how many of you tonight have ever seen other groups or been a part of a different religion, but folks, if you've ever been somewhere else that doesn't follow this orderly fashion from the Corinthian church, sometimes they are disorderly about the way they do the Lord's Supper. And so tonight we'll do it trying to do this decently in order according to the scripture. And so tonight when the deacons pass it out, I'll ask you not to eat as soon as you get it, but to stay in an attitude of prayer and hold on to the element that has been given to you at that time and wait until the whole church takes it. Again, I'll mention again that if you're a member of our church, you are welcome to take this if you examine yourself and you judge yourself worthy. That means a part of the body. Don't get me wrong, and don't be scared tonight. I'm not saying that you have to have absolute sinless perfection, but you ought to really hone in on yourself and go, Lord, is there something between me and my brother? Lord, am I taking this unworthily? And if I am, Lord, make it real to me. Let me know what it is. Don't let me do this in a wrong way. And get those things. Maybe there's some things that you already, we've not been very long into a brand new year. Maybe there's some things in your Christian life that you said you were going to get rid of and you've already gotten to here and you still haven't done that yet. It ought to be something that you put before the Lord and the Lord speaks and you say, Lord, I'm going to do these things or whatever it is that you need to speak to the Lord about. But at this time, as our deacons and our ordained men come, if you'll come to the front, make your way, I wish you'd bow your head tonight and bow your head in your heart and you'd examine yourself, and that you would do business with God. And if you can talk to him and ask forgiveness or speak to God about something, but if you really tonight, you bow your head and God has revealed something in your life that would make it in such a way that you feel that you don't want to take it, let me just say this. Don't feel ashamed. Feel proud that God spoke to you and you're going to fix it and you're going to get it right. And let those elements pass by, because there's in no way do I, as a pastor of this church, want you to take the Lord's Supper unworthily. And so I'm gonna bow my head and I'll pray when we get to the front, but I hope that you'll take just a few moments to examine yourself and to judge yourself and to do that tonight and speak to the Lord about anything between you and the Savior. Dear Lord, I come to you tonight, and Lord, I pray that you'd be with our church. Lord, now we begin the Lord's Supper, and we just ask you, Lord, to bless us. Lord, I pray that you would reveal to anybody here. Lord, help them to know that they're as welcome as anybody else. If they found a division or a problem with their brother that they can't fix tonight, Lord, help them to be able to just thank you for what you've done, Lord, and not receive the elements tonight, Lord, as they've been warned. And Lord, if there's folks that are here, and Lord, they're ready to take that, Lord, I pray that they'd be able to take that with joy and to realize and to focus on the sacrifice of your body and your blood. Lord, help us to be in an attitude of prayer throughout the service. And we'll ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. If you'll take your Bibles and go to Matthew 26, we'll go to the account where the Lord is giving this to his disciples. Matthew 26 and verse 26. And the Bible says, and as they were eating, Jesus took bread and broke it, and blessed it and broke it, and gave it to the disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body. Now he's done this, and tonight we're going to uncover the elements in just a moment. But before we hand out this element of the bread, I'm going to ask Brother Vic Grafton to come and pray for that element that we'll receive.
Heavenly Father, we want to thank you tonight for the privilege we have of being in this special service. We can commemorate your death, burial, and especially your resurrection. And Lord, we would ask your blessing now on the elements representing your body. And Lord, as we partake, may we once again be reminded, Lord, that you came to save sinners, Lord, that you came to redeem the lost souls of mankind. And we would ask also, Lord, that you might be pleased and glorified through everything that's done here tonight. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.
In the 27th verse of Matthew chapter 26, the Bible says, "And he took the cup, and he gave thanks, and he gave it to them, saying, Drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins." I want you to just take notice for a moment. He uses not only the word blood here, and again, this element represents the blood of our Savior, but it also a crossing into the New Testament age, and this is the New Testament church. And Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 16 uses the terminology that you can't have a New Testament without the death of the testator. And so tonight we mark the death of our Savior, and again, the life is in the blood. And so we say, we make much of the blood at our church. And tonight, as we think about his sinless body, it had to be that body to have that sinless blood that was shed for us. And so tonight, before we take this element, we'll ask Brother Randy Smith to come and pray over the blood.
Thank you, Lord Jesus, for coming to earth, for giving your blood to cover our sins. Lord, bless this juice in remembrance of your sacrifice. Amen.
Now, after the Lord's Supper was over, in verse 30, the church says that they went, and when they had sung a hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. So before we go out to our resting place, our places where we feel safe and secure in our homes, why don't we stand together and sing a hymn? Brother Bert, you come and lead us in it.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Ready? Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me.
We thank you for your goodness and your grace, Lord. I thank you for another time that we can meet together, Lord, and remember you, Lord, and your death. Lord, help us this Sunday and through this week be witnesses of your resurrection, because we've remembered your death and what you've done for all men, Lord, and that they might be saved. We ask you to go with our families and to our homes, be with the college students as they begin college this week. Lord, I pray you be with our day school and watch over it. Be with each one of the facets of our ministry. Lord, use us to win souls to you. We'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.